On the last recording, I talked about how I'm using the things that I'm interested in and looking at them from a thematic level and then breaking that down to find chart patterns and earnings winners to put the two together. So it's kind of a fundamental and a technical piece. I'm not really big into getting into balance sheets and things like that. So this kind, that kind of serves as my fundamental research, the themes, and then the technical is things that are beating earnings and the chart setups that are happening. Well, in part two of this thought process, the other way I find stuff, and it's usually shorter term stuff, is to really pay attention to events in the world and how they're correlating with prices. So example would be, I recently had a cast about this called Stock Market Observations, and you can listen back to that. But the example would be North Korea was, we had them to the table with South Korea, and it looked like things were gonna progress with the United States as well. That's still to be determined now. But at the time, we had a blowout report from Microsoft, Intel, Google, Amazon, thinking who else, a bunch of them, you know, all the banks, JP Morgan, Bank of America, Citibank, and the stock market would pop up on those things and come back down. It just could not stay up. So we had a pretty decent move down, like 60 or 70 S&P points, which is a large move if you're looking to trade for day trade or trade for 3 or 4 days. So that was a cue for me that we weren't going to go up in that time frame. We've since kind of got back to that level where this came out. So now it's, who knows now what happens. But at the time, I thought it set up a really nice kind of downward bias for the week. And it did work out that way. And the way I figured that out was just to kind of look at, this is what's coming out. And if we can't go up on this stuff, which propelled us much higher last year, anything like that would have moved us higher, then what's left? You know, what's going to move us up? It's what other surprise is going to come out that's positive if these immensely positive things can't do it? And you can look at that over and over again. So I'll give you another example. The Canadian dollar for years has been pegged to oil very closely because the Canadian economy has a lot of natural resources and oil companies. So they move together. And eventually what happened was the Canadian dollar kind of decoupled from the oil market. So oil was kind of down at the lows. I don't have the exact dates on this. You can go back and look at the chart. Maybe a daily chart would be good to compare the two. But oil started coming up from the 40s to where it is now, and the Canadian dollar didn't have any interest in going up with it. It kind of sat there sideways, and that's my cue. And then it snapped and exploded down. And the reason the move down happened so quickly is because everyone's used to a correlation that's happening. And there's algos and machines that are following a known correlation. And when they break down, there's people stuck the wrong way. And the market always moves fastest when someone's stuck the wrong way. Just think about if you get stuck short in something, what's the fastest time you're ever going to buy? Well, yeah, when you're stuck short. Same thing when you're overloaded buying something too much and you got to get out. So those little stuck trades, when there's a correlation or the market can't act the way it's supposed to on news, is a great way to find trades. And you might be asking, well, how do I find those? A lot of times, it's just, again, it's being curious. It's something I'd like to do, but it's digging around, just briefly going through newspaper headlines in the main financial stuff, looking at companies. You know, Southwest had an engine blow up that didn't really amount to a trade, but you get stuff like that happens. Back historical examples, Tesla battery fires that moved the stock way down, and then it they're going to figure stuff like that out, and it moved it back up. Good buying opportunity. Equifax actually was a big buying opportunity down there. I had no interest in the company, didn't do anything on it, but during that data breach. But just paying attention to these things and then watching what the market does. So, you know, example would be, you have the Equifax data breach, the stock gets crushed, rightfully so. Then they have some bad earnings and the market can't go down. Well, then you're looking to buy it. Everyone hates it, can't go down. Bad news is in the market. And it didn't work out that way in Equifax, but you know, you get my point. So I think thinking like that and observing events, you'll be surprised how often trades can come to you that way. And that could happen, I don't know, you can get probably every quarter you get a few of those. But if you're looking at shorter term trading, like day trading or during the week, a lot of times you'll get those on economic numbers. The retail sales is widely expected to be positive. The market starts pricing that in a couple of days before. The report comes out positive, but not quite positive enough maybe. We go up and then we sell off the rest of the day. Classic market, you know, buy the rumor, sell the news stuff. And it works. It really does. Everyone's in front of everything. You saw it in cryptocurrencies as well. When, the government were worried about regulation with all these ICOs and they crushed everything down into tax season. and people had a lot of losses in 2018, a lot of gains in 2017. So they selling out of their cryptos, and uncertain government regulation headlines just every single day. And at that point, you start getting more and more of them, but you notice the market started to kind of creep up. It couldn't go down anymore. And now it's, you know, back up into the range, and the news has flipped positive again. And it just, we repeat on and on and on. So I think that's another great strategy to come up with trades. And especially when those things line up with something you're interested in, or they line up with a chart pattern that you like, it's very powerful to have something like that go with the chart. I've never done as well just using a chart pattern. It's just one thing. I know some people are strictly technical. That's great. It works for some people. For me, it always helped to know where people, my theory is that when you really, to really make a lot of money and move forward, you need to think beyond the easy stuff that everyone else is looking at, like the charts and the obvious fundamentals. So that means, given the fundamentals, given the chart, what happens, how will people react psychologically if X, Y, or Z happens? And then you have a plan for X, Y, and Z. That's where you can really get ahead of it. So, you know, I'm long. I see these levels. I know a lot of people are probably long also. So if we go down and stop them out, and then we continue to not be able to go lower, then maybe that's the time to buy. So it's thinking like that second, third, fourth order thinking, and not getting stuck on just the stuff right in front of your face, because that's the stuff that's, it's too simple. So it doesn't work, because everyone would be doing it if it was that easy. You know, oddly enough, those things tend to work the most when everyone doubts them. So the classic chart patterns work the best when no one believes the trend is real. So that's an interesting thing also to watch for, when, oh, this is so overvalued. Netflix is overvalued. It shouldn't be up this high. It's, you know, it should never be worth more than Disney and all these things you hear. And you notice that bull flag all the way up. So paying attention to what everyone else is doing and thinking, huge part of trading.